Welcome to the Living the Dream podcast with Curveball. If you believe, you can achieve. Welcome to the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, a show where I interview guests that teach, motivate, and inspire. Today, I am joined by empowerment mind strategist, JJ Lizanes. JJ is the creator of the Empowerment Mind Network, and she helps truth seekers who want to remove emotional barriers to success, and she helps them remove any kind of emotional blocks or sabotage that they have. So we're going to be talking to her about everything that we're up to and that she's up to. And here we go. JJ, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Well, why don't you start off by telling everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So let's see, how do I make this really tight? I was always very interested, curious kid. I loved to sing and dance, very right-brained in that way. Went actually to school for musical theater, but also figured out along the way that I had a left side of my brain that wanted to problem solve and figure stuff out. So I started to learn the science of the body and become a personal trainer, so that during my time of not acting, I was personal training and also helping my body and other people's bodies. But then I got so interested, because I was really good at the science and I actually learned I was smart, that I became a personal trainer full time and started a business called Invisible Fitness and moved from New York City to California. In the personal training world, I never really fit into the it's about what you look like. Yes, we all care what we look like, but that's really not it. And I mean, it is for some people, but it's not. It's like, why do you want to look good? What's the point? Do you want to be healthy? Yes. But aesthetically, the surface part never really interested me. So I was always asking clients questions about their motivation for why they worked out, why they didn't work out, why they overate, or why they didn't stick to their program, or why. And being a very spiritual truth seeker myself, as I started to learn different kinds of sciences besides the physical sciences, more of the spiritual sciences like quantum physics and epigenetics, I just gradually moved into, and I was doing work on myself emotionally. And so, of course, I was really learning and doing and manifesting all kinds of great things. So I couldn't help but share and want to help the clients that I had with that information. But most of them weren't very interested because I just wanted to lose weight and, you know, be held accountable to their diet and their exercise. But along the way, I decided that I was going to start a podcast. And I started a podcast in order to give myself permission to talk about all the things I cared about, including the diet and the exercise and the fitness and the cooking and the lifestyle and the behavior, all of it. And through that, giving myself permission to explore and put out into the world all the things that lit me up, I attracted a lot of spiritual truth seekers who were attracted to my Freedom Friday, which was all about law of attraction, intuition, psychic abilities, meditation, everything under the spiritual umbrella. And while I'm still very scientific in every way, I'm really good at, and I think what I've heard people say is, for those that are more skeptical, I have the science to sort of help people move from skeptical to hopeful when it comes to law of attraction and hope and emotions. And then even working in that direction, I'm not a licensed therapist, but I've been helping many, many people for many years. And I would often get the feedback after two sessions that, oh my God, my whole life has changed after two sessions with you. And I was in therapy for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. And so I started to sort of just own that and look at why traditional talk therapy maybe isn't as effective as we would like it to be. So again, I've sort of cultivated this empowerment strategist piece, and I have developed a core wound program, and it's called the core, Rewiring Your Core Wound Patterns. And I've created something called your core wound map. So I've taken some work from very smart people that created an initial piece of work, and I've taken it and I've done a really deep dive and created layers and layers upon understanding, just like you'd use any other map, right? You want a map to be detailed. You want it to give you information. Well, I wanted to create a map for people that would give them information on why they act the way they do, why they believe the way they do, why they feel the way they do, why they're stuck in the patterns that they're in. And so they could never say, well, I don't know why I do that. And then from there, once you have your map, you can start to choose different kinds of therapies or things that will help you heal some of those core wounds. But to me, if you're just sort of trying everything and you have no map, you have no way to gauge or track or see progress on, and you don't even know what you're really healing, then we're going from circumstance to circumstance. So I've sort of created this core wound map thing going on here, rewiring your core wound patterns, and I love it. It's gives people a lot of power to feel like they can do something that's conscious and make choices and not waste time on your energy in, doing different kind of healing modalities. All healing modalities can work. It just depends on the person and the wound you're trying to heal. So those are all important, and that's all important information before deciding what kind of therapies to introduce into your life to create better health, to create better relationships, to bring more joy, to whatever it is you want to do, create more abundance. So, and that's where we are.
Okay, well, for those who don't know, explain to us what an empowerment mind strategist is.
So I chose and created Empowerment Strategist because it represented the two parts of my brain that I used when I was with clients. The empowerment piece, if we think about what we struggle with in life, a lot of times people struggle with a concept or a feeling or an idea or a story that limits their freedom. So for instance, if you say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't have that kind of money. I can't do that thing I want to do because I don't have any money. Okay, well, that's you being a victim to a circumstance of a financial situation, and money's just energy. So rather than saying, well, how can I? We just decide we're a victim to circumstance, a circumstance we created. So I help people in become empowered in all aspects of life. It doesn't really matter what aspect of life it is. It's just taking the belief or the story that you have going on that makes you a victim and understanding where the power is and how to get your power back. Now, the strategy piece is my left brain. So the empowerment piece is the right brain. That's about the feeling. But the strategy piece is about the left brain because you still need a plan. You can have a concept, but if you don't do anything about it, or if you don't know how to change, there is action required in some way, shape, or form. And so putting those two parts together gave me a well-rounded idea of how I can help people. And really, the subject matter is a moot point. It doesn't really matter. It's just finding your power and knowing what to do about it and how to get it and how to sustain it or how to grow or, improve whatever part of your life you're wanting to work on.
Okay, so I heard you mention core wounds. So explain to the listeners what are core wounds and why do we want to know about them?
From the time you were born, or possibly even in the womb, until about 9 or 10, your subconscious is making decisions about who you are in the world based on your caregivers, based on how the world responds to you, based on how your caregivers respond to you. And they're not things you're consciously trying to figure out. You're just making assessments. It's like if you're crying in your crib over and over again and nobody's coming to get you, and no one's coming to feed you, no one's coming to change you, your subconscious may make that mean that you've been abandoned. So an abandonment wound can start that early. Later in life, if your parents are both working and they're trying to support having a roof over your head and food on the table, but you have to be with caregivers or you have to be at daycare and then they forget to pick you up, again, we're stimulating possibly being abandoned or maybe being devalued or not being important or being ignored. So we don't choose consciously these core wounds. They just become what our brain tries to make sense of during our first, 0 to 10 years. Now, along the way, if you have a major trauma as an adult or as a child, those also contribute to those wounds. But generally, those core wounds are the programs and beliefs that set you up for the rest of your life. Your core wounds are why you do everything you do, why you chose the job you chose, the partner you chose, the life you chose, why you react the way you react, how you treat yourself. So that's kind of why we want to know, because if you want to change your circumstance, you want to change anything about your life, especially relationships or self-care, and definitely money and abundance, you have to sort of know what the block is. And the block comes from understanding the core wound and the pattern that happens after that core wound is triggered.
Okay, explain the difference between coaching and traditional talk therapy because I heard you kind of touching on that earlier. So explain that to the listeners.
So in my experience and in my client's experience, that's what I can talk about. And I've seen several therapists, both in my marriage, my prior marriage, and individually. So I've had coaches. I've had both coaches and therapists, and I've had clients that are therapists, and I have clients that come to me after years and years and years and years of therapy. In a traditional talk therapy model, and again, I'm talking traditional. So if you are a therapist or someone, or you have a therapist and you love that therapist and you are different. See, to me, healing, this is my definition. Healing is when you're different in the same situation. I got to observe a lot of people in therapy, clients of mine in therapy with one particular therapist, and a lot of what the ideas were to either avoid or change your circumstances so that you don't get triggered. That's not healing. That's avoiding. So there's a hole in that boat, and you're going to take your hand away and the boat's going to sink because you haven't fixed the hole. You've just moved over or used something else to patch the hole temporarily. You haven't fixed the hole. So when I say traditional talk therapy, if you know, in a lot of cases, people will go in and the therapist will try to establish trust. Remember, you don't know the person when you're walking in the door. Maybe they were referred to you. You looked them up online. It's on your insurance. So there has to be some kind of rapport and trust. So the therapist listens to your stories and you tell your stories and you tell your side. And I don't know how long that takes. It could take, weeks or months or years of you telling a story. And at some point, if there's some trust, maybe the therapist guides you to see some things. But generally, you're the victim of your own story. And a lot of people stay with that story. And I have had friends even that have said to me, they get triggered after years of therapy and they go, "Well, wait a minute, I worked on this in therapy." And I said, "You really didn't. You talked about it in therapy. Working on it means taking responsibility for your part in it, how you attracted it, and then of course healing the wound that caused it in the first place, so that when you go back out into the world, when you come into a relationship that triggers those wounds, you can have a different response." And so for me, a lot of traditional talk therapy is the therapists don't necessarily take a role of giving you tools. They listen, they validate, they might give you some, suggestions of meditation for stress or how to talk to somebody or breathing or and again, everybody's different. There are regular therapists that do other activities like EMDR and hypnosis. And that's not what I'm talking about. Those are tools. And a lot of therapists these days do have other tools, but I think the traditional talk therapy model in general is quite outdated to the patient and client relationship, to where you don't know that the person that you're talking to has overcome their own stuff because you never get personal with them. They don't really earn your know, like, and trust except from where they're sitting as the therapist. You have to sort of assume that they behave better than you in their situation. So they really haven't proven themselves, in my opinion. I've seen a lot of therapists in social situations that they're very, very triggered and act like teenagers. And I think to myself, aren't you a therapist? Shouldn't you know better? But that one doesn't equal the other. So in the situation for me with my podcast and being able to work through my own problems on the air, be able to demonstrate and display growth, to be able to share vulnerabilities, for my audience to see my growth year after year after year and what I manifest and who I am and how I vibrate, I've earned the trust that I've done something to change my life. And therefore, when people come to me, they go, "Oh, you've done it. So teach me how to do what you've done. I've heard you do it. I've watched you do it." So traditional talk therapy, and I'm not just talking about me. I mean, there are coaches. I've had some really great coaches. And to me, the difference between a coach, oh, here's a really big difference. And I have a whole 90-minute class on this, by the way, for free on my website. It's called The 3 Reasons Why Talk Therapy is Ineffective. But I will tell you one more thing that I think is really important. And this is my experience. I would go into therapy with my ex-husband, and it's a 50-minute session about, because they need their 10-minute break in between, or 55 minutes, whatever. And it would take a while. It would take a while to get somewhere because there was no structure. There wasn't something we had to complete before we came in. There wasn't something we had to read to discuss. There wasn't some kind of activity we had to do. We would come in and we would talk about whatever was going on in that moment, whatever pissed anybody off recently, which is so stupid. Anyway, in my opinion, because it's never about what's going on right now. It's always and always about the relationship to your core wounds. But as I digress, we would be asked to talk about whatever was going on. So what's going on right now? And for all you know, it could have been last week or 2 days ago or an hour ago that somebody got triggered about something. And then you get going in the therapy session, and maybe within the first 30 or 40 minutes, maybe now you're starting to get somewhere. It's getting really good. And then you have to end the session 10 minutes after that. And they're like, "Okay, time's up. Goodbye." And you have no solution. You feel bad. You're triggered because now you're getting somewhere and you have to leave. Now, who wants to go to therapy if you're going to leave feeling worse than you did when you came in? To me, coaching has a much broader and much more flexible approach, and it's based on whoever you're working with. But generally speaking, most coaching sessions start out with the problem, go through some kind of working through the problem in the middle, and then you find a solution or a tool or a new perspective. And by the end, you have sort of homework to do, or you're at a new place where you feel better. In the years I worked with one of my coaches, there was only one time that I ever left one of those sessions not feeling better than when I first got there. And it's not fluff, it's actual like change, or like you're doing things, you're having a different perspective. So to me, although a lot of men especially don't like to go to therapy because they just don't understand the point. They don't see like, okay, I'm going to talk to somebody and then what? And then when do I know that I'm better? Like there's no structure. And then just anybody in general doesn't want to go and feel bad, and you want to go and feel better. That's why you're going. You're going so you can feel better. And if you leave feeling worse, that's kind of counterproductive.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Okay, well, I know your claim to fame is that you teach the law of attraction different. So how is that?
Well, most people think the law of attraction is sort of like a surface level, just pretend to be happy, or just think positive thoughts, or just, put a vision board up and look at it and, and get excited about it and tell the universe that you want it, or say a bunch of affirmations, or and on one level, that's not really, I guess it's kind of true, but it really isn't. People are thinking about things, and you attract what you are. You don't attract what you want. And I guess that's really the most simple way to put it. You attract where you are. So if you aren't getting what you want, then it's not about necessarily looking for something more. You can sit in a place of poverty or scarcity and say you want to make $1 million this year. But if you don't believe that, and if you don't emanate the feelings of what that is to have that, and you don't know how to, not how to get it on a technical level, but how to get there emotionally. If you can't be at the place where you feel the feelings of what that would be like and extra and like live in that reality that's not real right now, then you're not going to get it. And there are a couple layers to that. I'm not going to go too deep because I have a whole podcast about all this and a course called the Law of Attraction Mastery Course. But generally, because it can get, and I run a 14-day manifestation challenge. My next one's probably going to, it's free. It's probably going to be in, I don't know, May or end of May or June is probably my guess for that. But most people, again, just think law of attraction is a bunch of fluff. And really, it's all about your inner work and your ability to receive more and your ability to live in a reality that doesn't exist yet. You have to create an emotional reality. The difference between how we live and not acknowledge, law of attraction is always on. It's always working, whether you want it to or not. Like whether you believe it or not, whether you work with it or not, it's always working. And you can tell what you believe by what you attract. So you have to stand back and see what comes to you, or what happens. Are you always having bad things happen, or are you always, there are certain beliefs that we hold you because you would definitely attract what you believe. So if you believe, I had a friend once, always after he got one airplane delayed, he was afraid for every flight after that that every airplane would be delayed. And what, of course, happened? Every airplane has been delayed because he's afraid of every airplane being delayed. Or it's like when you buy your like the last car that you have. And this is what I used to tell corporate companies that would have me come in and talk about the power of positivity, or the power of positivity. And I would say, all right, so imagine like the last car that you bought. And remember, before you bought that car, you weren't necessarily aware of it, unless it's like a really special car. Like you decided, okay, this is the kind of car I can afford. This is the kind of car that I want. Oh my God, I love my car. Next thing you know, you see your car everywhere. And you have to go, well, wait a minute, I'm seeing it all. Well, there's my car. Well, but there's my car. Did everyone go out and buy the same car? No, you're tuned to that car. You're in the frequency of that car. So now you notice it everywhere. It's like being on a radio dial or a television set or your phone. There's a frequency to receive a transmission from a specific program. If we didn't have these different frequencies, then we wouldn't even have television, because everything would be coming into the same to the TV set at the same time, and you couldn't see anything, right? We all understand the radio dial. Here in California, my two favorite stations used to be 102.7, which is kind of like a hip hop and sort of what's going on right now, or 96.3, which is like the Latina reggaeton station. And if I want to hear my Latina reggaeton station, 96.3, I'm not going to hear it on 102.7. Like, you understand this. This is basic frequency and like science. And science, it's physics, right? So same thing with law of attraction. You emanate, your beliefs and your emotions are energy. And they send out signals. And that's what you attract. And a lot of times people don't like what they attract. But you're not going to change it until you're aware of what it is, so that you can figure out how to be in a place where, and trust that if I decide I want to feel healthier. So we live in a circumstantial world, and we expect that first I have to see it to believe it. And law of attraction is the exact opposite. You have to believe it first in order to see it. You have to come into alignment with it in order for it to be. And that's pretty much the bottom line. That, and the only reason why you want what you want, it's because you think you'll feel better when you have it. We're all just searching for a feeling. So if you just get to the feeling, you don't even need the thing. But if you get to the feeling and you just love the feeling and you activate the feeling, you don't need the thing to activate the feeling. But that's where people don't know how to do that indifferently. It's about learning how to trust and create and visualize and create this feeling, and then hold that. Hold that long enough, you don't need the thing. And then what will probably happen is that you'll probably get the thing. Because the thing can't come until you're in the frequency, into the emotion, into the energy of it. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Is that the roadmap to emotional healing that you talk about? If it's not, then give us some best practice tips on how to create an emotional healing roadmap.
Well, episode 337 of Spirit, Purpose, and Energy talks about the roadmap. That's the name of the episode, Roadmap to Emotional Healing. It's a course. So it's not something we're going to do here in a conversation. It's not even something you're going to do in an hour. It's something you're going to have to dig into, because you have to do the core wound work first in order to get your map to be able to create your roadmap. Because again, your map and my map are going to be different. And what you're willing to do and what you need to do and what your, like how you normally deal with or don't deal with things is going to dictate what best next steps are for you. And again, it's a personalized thing. I mean, the course is a home study course, Roadmap to Emotional Healing, but you can listen to the episode. I do talk about the concept, and you know, even without doing it, you can start to maybe make a list of the things that you've tried and things that you think have worked or things you think have not worked. And then just ask yourself, what are you trying to work on? Is it that you need more confidence? Is it that you're afraid, you have a lot of fear? So, you know, someone can just take a step back and be an observer and ask different questions and start to unpack and maybe get some clarity around how to make different choices or what things you want to work on.
Okay. Before we go into the podcasting question, let's talk about the invisible physical fitness formula. What is that and how does that work?
So the Invisible Fitness Formula is the most recent book that I wrote. I wrote the first version of it in 2017, and I just updated it last year in 2023. And I made an audiobook, finally. I have a podcast, for crying out loud, for 10 years, and I don't have an audiobook. So I finally recorded my first audiobook. My second one will be coming out this year also, because I have three books, but only two of them need audiobooks. And so I felt like I wanted to, and I'm also working on my next book, but I wanted to complete getting the other two sort of up to speed to where they should be with an audiobook. So the Invisible Fitness Formula, it's five secrets to release weight and end body shame. When I started my company in 2001, it was called Invisible Fitness. It still is. It's Invisible Fitness Incorporated. And which I didn't even realize how perfect the name was at the time. The guy I was working with who branded me, he's awesome. He said, "What makes you different than other trainers?" And really at the time, it was because I was very focused on biomechanics, how our joints work, and making sure that when you choose exercise and putting resistance and load onto your joints, that you do it in a way that will preserve your joints, not destroy them. So that's kind of how we got to Invisible Fitness. I mean, it was partly the joints, but it was really all the invisible things, because all of the sciences that make your body change are invisible, right? The invisible creates the visible. And then how perfect over years that I could move into the emotional thing too, the emotional and spiritual, because it's under the same umbrella. I don't really use that brand in the coaching piece because it's not, I'm currently not a trainer anymore and I'm not working with anybody on a fitness, you know, on the fitness side. I do help clients from time to time and obviously give advice, and I have interviewed other doctors and guests and on different, you know, information in the world, diets, probiotics, gut health, all the things. You know, physical is still important to me, but not as important to me as the emotional and the spiritual. So I have a YouTube channel. It's got a ton. In fact, I just sent a whole playlist of all the exercises to my clients this morning, because most people don't really exercise very well. They don't understand the body. When it comes to lifting and resistance training, they think that a woman thinks if she picks up more than 5 or 10 pounds, she's going to get bulky. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's not how it works. Or, you know, using momentum when you're lifting weights. So I have a whole library of hundreds of videos between exercise and cooking and nutrition from when I first started my show 10 years ago.
Sweet. And how do listeners find that?
Well, everything's going to be accessible on jjflazanes.com. I'm trying to think of where the social links are, but let's just, in case, because I can't think right now, let's go.
They're probably on your website, right?
Let's look it up. But if you, in case it's not, I'm sure they are. I just can't tell you where right now. You can go to jjflazanes.tv. That's the direct link to my YouTube site, YouTube channel, and just look up the playlists. And the playlist for the exercise piece is Movement Mondays. Okay. But again, there's tons of content. You will, you'd have to make it literally your second job to catch up. So, I just went to the wrong website. I went directly to my YouTube site instead of my website. JJFlazanes.com is great for everything.
Okay, perfect. Let's talk about the main thing that podcasters are doing wrong when it comes to monetization that you talk about.
Well, I think a lot of, based on the 10 years I've been in this business and the hundreds of podcasters that I've known, worked with, and seen, most podcasters get into this business thinking that they're going to make money through sponsorships and advertisers. and that's not true. And I have a whole 90-minute class on that that's free too. It's called The Three Fastest Ways to Make Money Podcasting. And that's also at jjflazanes.com with my dear partner, Doug Sandler. Between the two of us, he owns a podcast production company. I have a podcast network. And if there's 25 ways to make money podcasting, we've done 24 of them. So, you know, what I think one of the biggest myths is the whole advertising and sponsorships, you know, because you look at models like Joe Rogan or any famous person that has, or the guys that started early, John Lee Dumas or Pat Flynn, like the guys that started early and got picked up by Apple and featured by Apple way in the beginning. Who were doing millions of downloads from the get-go, or at least, you know, maybe a couple months in or a year in. Yeah, they make a lot of money off of all kinds of things that they do. But in advertising and sponsorships are possible because of the number of people that they have in terms of downloads. But that's where people and podcasters get stuck, is they think that their downloads means dollars, and it doesn't. You can't cash a download at the bank. If you're hitting the right audience with the right offers at the right time, I mean... Doug's a great example of that in terms of his podcast. He's got a two passion project podcast, the Mustang podcast, the Ford Mustang podcast, the early years, and then his truck. I think it's the Ford truck. I don't even know what that one's called. Anyway, he's gotten sponsors on that show. He doesn't have very many. He has very few downloads compared to me or compared to his other shows. But it's the right audience for the right offer for the right person. So it's really about conversion, not about your audience list. One of my two of our fellow podcaster friends who I love, who had at least twice at the time more downloads than I did, couldn't put 20 people in a room. And I put 40 people in the room from all over the country at a live event. So to me, it's about conversion. Again, not about numbers.
Okay. Well, tell us about any upcoming projects that you're working on that people need to know about.
Well, it is hopefully if this podcast airs before April 17th, I am doing the Consciousness Upgrade Summit. I've got some really amazing leaders and speakers on that summit, like Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Nasha Winters, Dr. William Davis, Christy Whitman, who talks about law of attraction, Mariel Hemingway, the actress who also writes books and does health stuff. So I've got a really, really great lineup of people who are going to be providing tools to help us upgrade our consciousness. And I'll be one of them, of course, talking about core wounds and rewiring your core wounds. So there's going to be a lot of great content that's free. April 17th and 18th. That's the Consciousness Upgrade Summit. And then, like I said earlier, I think I'll probably be doing another 14-day manifestation challenge sometime at the end of May or in June.
Okay, we gave out your website, jjflazanes.com. So close us out with some final thoughts. Maybe if that was something I forgot to touch on that you would like to talk about, or just any final thoughts you have for the listeners.
Well, I would say, depending on what you're attracted to, as we grow as people, we change how we hear things. And I believe in divine timing. So looking at sort of timing and what's coming to you, and if you're wanting to change anything about your life, your business, your health, your relationships, pick an area to start with and, get some help. And you can get free help, of course, like here with Curtis on his podcast or on my podcast or any podcast actually that has the content that you're looking for. And but just remember that after you, I mean, I've had many people say that their lives have been changed just from listening to my show, and I think that's great. And then there are people that they change to a certain degree, and then they need the next thing. They need to get out from behind the earbuds or from behind the car, and you need to physically show up or be in some kind of program to take the next level, because you can't see what you can't see. So if you want to grow past any endpoint that you've hit or any sort of upper limit that you've reached, then after listening and trying to embody and integrate the information that you've learned, integration is active. It means you need to change behaviors, change beliefs, change patterns, put yourself out there differently, whatever that means to you. So I just encourage people to, after listening to podcasts, find one that motivates you to take some action in some way, because, and again, that's the key word here, motivates you to take action. Don't take action for action's sake. Take inspired action. Be ready. Be excited. Be scared, but do it anyway.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, do it anyway. What I would like you to do is follow, rate, review, share this episode to as many people as possible. Visit jjvlazanes.com. And if you have any guests or suggestion topics, see Jackson102 at Cox.net is the place to send them. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the show. And JJ, thank you for joining us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you for having me, Curtis.
For more information on the Living the Dream podcast, visit www.djcurveball.com. Until next time, stay focused on living the dream.